Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with the 16th verse. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. One of the first years I was in the ministry, one of the young members of my church in his mid-20s came to talk to me. He had recently been on a trip to California, and he had stayed out there at the home of a friend of a friend, a young man that likewise was in his early 20s, whom he didn't know real well, but was a friend of his companion. And this home was right out on the shores, right out on the beach in California. Beautiful property, very nice home. And while he was there, staying there, he started to think about the owner of this house, this fellow young man who was only in his mid-20s. Boy, he sure lives a pretty lavish lifestyle. He must be kind of a greedy individual. Must be pretty materialistic. A couple days later, he happened to be in the backyard talking across the fence to one of the neighbors. And he just brought up how, boy, it sure is surprising to see a young guy like this in his mid-20s who has so much wealth, being able to live out here and all the nice stuff he has. And the neighbor said to him, "Yeah, that's really true, but you know, I've known him for a few years now, and I've known his family, and he's even wealthier than this property. He could live in a house four times this size if he wanted to. He's actually a very devout Christian man, cares a lot about his church and so on, and is very generous." My member came back to me and he said that he himself had learned an important spiritual lesson about himself. The very greed and covetousness and materialism that he thought was in the heart of this man because he had money was actually more prevalent in his own heart. And that's before us. When we read a text like this about someone who has great wealth and so on, it's easy for us to sometimes kind of dismiss it, assuming that it's primarily aimed at those who have riches, have great wealth. But the real issue with this man in Jesus' parable is not the success that he enjoys, but it's rather what his heart does with it. And that's a temptation for all of us. Covetousness for wealth can grow just as easily in the heart of those living in a trailer park as in those living in mansions. Greed and envy of the rich can grow just as well in the hearts of those who make sacrifices to do church work, reminding ourselves of how much more we'd be making if we were in another line of profession, as it can be in the heart of someone on Wall Street. It takes very little earthly goods to alter and change our perspective on things regarding God, regarding what should really matter in life, and regarding heaven. 30 pieces of silver is all that it took to take away Judas for eternity. The sale of a nice piece of property for Ananias and Sapphira. A nice garden for King Ahab. And it doesn't have to be wealth. It can just be some pleasure that we enjoy. It doesn't have to have a dollar attached to it. The barns that you and I are tempted to build in our lives, the barns that we are tempted to want to acquire, can come in a variety of styles and forms, just like the barns that litter the landscape. And it doesn't take much. Luther used to say it well. You can even take a penny and hold it up to your eye, and it'll block your view of heaven. Doesn't take much. In our parable before us, Jesus allows us to kind of listen in, you might say, on the internal conversations in this man's heart. And it reminds me that for myself, when it comes to material things, there are three very dangerous internal conversations that I can sometimes have and be tempted to think like this. First of all is this, that I can pursue dual goals with my life. That I can imagine somehow that I'm going to chase both getting to heaven and being financially wealthy. That somehow those two are on the same road and on the same path. But our Lord so easily reminds us, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Your heart will either be consumed with one or the other. Secondly, that I can set aside the desire for heavenly treasure for a time, knowing I can come back to it, with the assumption that when I get to another stage of my life, when my hair gets a little more white, when I get a little closer to retirement, then, and when my health maybe starts to deteriorate, then I can put heaven back in its important place of being most important. But in the meantime, I'm going to set it aside. That's another very dangerous thought, an internal conversation. The devil knows that thinking like this about things in this life is like spiritual Novocaine. It starts to numb our senses about what should really matter, and it numbs away our feelings for heaven. And third is another dangerous internal conversation my heart can have, and that is this, that in front of fellow believers, I can be very heavenly minded and talk very well about the importance of Christ and heaven and his kingdom, but have it just be a facade, because inside my heart maybe really is more concerned about here and now. Understanding the final destination of all the things we can enjoy and acquire in this life is so essential for us as believers, as we see reflected in this man's life in our text. Listen to what the writer of Ecclesiastes says in the first chapter. I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled. This also is vanity. Sometimes there are spiritual benefits for us to not have so much, to be lacking. Listen to what Thomas A. Kempis once wrote. He said, it is good for us that we sometimes have some weariness and crosses, for they often call a man back to his own heart, that he may know that he is here in banishment. That's what this life really is. And may not set his trust in any worldly thing. God would have us remember that no matter what level or status of wealth or riches that we can acquire in this life, no matter what level of great things that we can get here, it's all just like being in a hotel room. When you go stay in a nice hotel room, you can use the things that are there, but you don't take them with you, and they don't belong to you. You're ultimately responsible to simply use them in the right way, and at the same time, you don't possess them. And just as Jesus ran away from the crowd and sped away from them who wanted to take him and tempt him with earthly glory, let us follow him as well and flee from the things of this life that chase us with earthly glory. And if we need a place to build barns, let it be in a godly place. Saint Ambrose said this, "You have barns, the bosoms of the needy." What was worthy of our Lord's incarnation to come down into this world, to take on human flesh, and so on, was giving you the luxury of this world enough of a reason to get him to come down and be a savior? No. Was providing you with a beautiful home and a comfortable income, was that important enough to God to send his son into this world? Absolutely not. Was the prospect of giving you 80 or 90 years of pleasure in this life and in this world, enough of a reason to warrant Christ's experience of hell? No. But an eternal home, an everlasting place of bliss, where you can feast in God's presence, this was worthy of our Lord's incarnation. This was worth his suffering, his death on the cross, his atonement for our sins. This was worth his blood. This was worth his experiencing hell for us. And so what does that say to us about how fantastic heaven must be? All these other things that we think are so great in this world, were not worthy of it for him to do that. But heaven, your heaven, was. Live to experience the angelic flight to the side of Abraham. Amen.